It is a great Friday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. Arizona-centric. White Mountain Radio, we're a part of AZ Central Sports as well. Good to partner up with AZ Central Sports. They did some good stuff last night, AZ Central Sports, around the draft. It's good. And of course, we're on Twitter, @BradSusMatt. Thanks for being with us. On the program today, we're going to be all over the place, which I like. I like shows like today because we have a high wire act. Every day at Sports 360 AZ is somewhat of a high wire act when it comes to this show. We never rehearse. We never do. We're going to have a show meeting, and for an hour and a half, I'm going to say this, and you're going to say that, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that. We don't do that. And there's no reason to do that. In the creative process, you want to, I mean, yeah, I've got a little bit of a rundown of who's coming on, but look, half the fun of doing this biz is I come in and do my thing. Eric comes in and does his thing. How late were you and Jared at Suns last night, Till?
I got home at about a quarter of 11.
Quarter of 11. So we did World Cup, and then you went over to ASU because you wanted to, because it was a good story for their new baseball coach. I read the story on sports360az.com.
Thanks. I had a small oopsie in the video. I said the University of Indiana instead of Indiana University.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
You know, the Hoosier people
here's the thing, Brad. If you Google, because I Googled it, I had the whole story done, and I Googled it, and it didn't say, like, it's not like I said Arizona instead of Arizona State or, you know, like USC instead of UCLA. I just mixed the words around. I got the school right.
Yeah.
But good hire by ASU.
Well, it's kind of like last week when we were up in the White Mountains, and I'm sitting there talking to people, and one of them is from Ohio State, and I didn't say the Ohio State. So, sorry, you know, beat me over the head because I didn't say the Ohio State. Oh, it's fine. It's fine. On the show today, we're going to go down to the World Cup. Mike DeCourcy is going to be with us. Now, here's the thing. We also let you know how difficult it may be sometimes to get these guests. Mike comes on with us all the time. He's one of the leading voices in college basketball, so I can talk to him about draft. But more importantly, he's down in Brazil for the World Cup. He did a terrific piece on the biting incident that went on down there in São Paulo with Suarez and on Team USA and all that stuff. The problem is Mike told Eric, you can tell this story better than I can. Eric just said, we have Mike DeCourcy, but we don't have Mike DeCourcy.
Yeah, he texted me, and he said, sure, no problem. I can do it. Here's the hotel number. So I started, before the show started, I just wanted to make sure that we can dial internationally here at Skyview, which we can.
Sure.
One small issue. I called the number, got through, and it was a recording in English, Portuguese, French.
Yeah.
And then someone answered the phone,
right,
and I started talking, and I got hung up on.
So they have no idea how to speak English.
And then long story short, then I called back, and I waited, and someone answered the phone,
right,
and I got connected, no problem. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, who's
dialing
gonna,
for language.
Exactly. Who's going to dial?
who do we have on line one?
Who
dialing
is going
for language
to pick up the phone? And we're also going to be joined by either Ryan McDonough or Jeff Hornacek later on in this hour. So,
como se llama? Miyama.
Yeah, I feel like just going over the intercom here at Skyview. Is anyone able to speak Portuguese, please?
Oh, I love that story.
So we'll see.
So here's the thing. We can talk about how excited we have Mike DeCourcy on because he's one of the leading guys. I don't even know if he's been able to follow the draft down there.
I'm sure he has a little bit.
Great World Cup stuff. But we have no idea if we're going to get him just based off, he's told Eric, sure, as always. We just don't know if we can get through the operator at the hotel. That is half the fun. And then Goody at the Movies is going to be with us today. So Transformers, the new Transformers, is out today. Now, I think Bill crushed it. I don't think he was a big fan of it. Are we right on that? I think I saw where he had like 1.5 stars.
Correct.
On it.
I don't think he was a big fan.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to have him on or not because I want to go see it. So what's the deal? What's the problem here? So we'll have Goody at the Movies as well. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. First and foremost, before I talk about all the things at the Honda Resort and Casino, those of you on White Mountain Radio, my thoughts and my prayers last night and even today are with you. It is no fun when fires are coming right down on you. It's no fun when I hear my buddy Danny White had to evacuate. It's no fun for the people of Vernon that are up there and for Springerville and all that. And the White Mountains is very important to what we're all about here at Sports 360 AZ. My buddies over at Tate's and all that, it's not fun. So, look, hang in there, and hopefully the wind does not cause havoc with the fires up there. Now, that said, I'm assuming the best. And the Honda Resort and Casino will have America in concert on July 5th. So they have their big bike rally this weekend. Entertainment, great food, great fun. It's all there for you at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The draft last night, so I'm fine with what the Suns did. I'm fine with it. None of these players is going to equate to them winning a championship or next year being a sure thing to be in the top four or five in the NBA. But I do believe that Ennis at point guard is somebody that I've always liked him a great deal. TJ Warren, can he get after it defensively, offensively? Facts are we getting back to the days of the Suns just getting a whole bunch of athletes and getting up and down the court, and who cares if they can play a lick of defense? Is that what we're getting? Bogdanovic, very good scorer out of Serbia. I haven't seen Bogdan do much, but all I know is I want Al McCoy to get into the Donger Downtown, something like that, like from 16 Candles.
Jared Cohen said, I might butcher this, bombs over Bogdanovic after he hits a three or something like that.
I mean, you can have a lot of fun with this.
You're into that kind of stuff, so.
Sure I am. I mean, as a play-by-play, having done play-by-play, you want to find some tricky ways to work it in. It's fine. Aaron Gordon going to Orlando, for as many people that are crushing Orlando on that, I happen to think it's a pretty good pick. Because, look, all these guys that were taken in the top part of the draft, they're all in their first year. You know, they're just guys that have hung around for a year, so they have a long ways to go. But here is Tyler Ennis out of Syracuse, and he was asked last night, were you surprised that the Suns took you?
No, I know, you know, I interviewed with them at the combine. You know, I got to go out there and work out, you know, in front of the coaches in the front office, and, you know, I thought I had a really good workout. So, you know, a lot of people question about the point guard situation, but, you know, I'm you know, happy to go in there and earn my minutes.
So there's Tyler Ennis. Now, we have some video from last night, too, because Jared and Eric were out there as well. Those of you watching on the stream as well as on Sports 360 AZ, watch the stream there. And on AZ Central Sports and on the radio side, you'll hear the audio here. But if you want to watch them, here is Ryan McDonough, because there was a lot of conversation about the team trying to make a deal on not making a trade last night during the draft.
It's a good question. You know, you never really know what to expect. We were prepared for a number of different scenarios. We had all of our guys, especially TJ and Tyler, rated a lot higher than where they got drafted. So we talked some about packaging picks to move up. But, you know, as the draft was kind of unfolding, obviously those are tough calls and you don't know exactly how it's going to go. But we were confident that, you know, at least one of those guys was going to be there at 14 and we felt good about it. And then when we took TJ and Tyler was still there at 18, we were ecstatic about that because, you know, we got the two guys we wanted.
Of course they did. That's good news. So Ryan McDonough there on not making a big deal. There's a long ways to go in this offseason. The draft was one part of it. It sounds like Toronto is one of many teams that have said, hey, you don't want to hang on to Ennis, do you? So I think there's still quite a few moving parts. Over on the Suns, and by the way, Jeff Hornacek will join us at the bottom of the hour. So Jeff Hornacek, after we attempt to go through some operator in Brazil who doesn't know how to speak English in order to get our guests here in about 5 minutes, which will be fun. In terms of the local guys, so I touched on Aaron Gordon. Nick Johnson going to Houston, what a terrific fit that is. What a terrific fit I think that is for Nick Johnson. And yeah, you have an Arizona State Sun Devil and you have a U of A Wildcat. And by the way, last night, all you nightmarish U of A fans piling on ASU fan about how none of your guys were drafted. After a while, it gets a little tired. It's fine. I guess if that's what you want, if that's what you aspire to do, rather than say, hey, it's cool, Aaron Gordon, Nick Johnson went, the first thing is Sun Devils shut out in the draft. But I think Jahi's going to be fine. He's going to bounce. I think I've said this many times in the show. Jahi's going to bump around on a bus overseas in Europe or Israel, and at some point we'll see Jahi come back here. So I'll get much more into the draft as we move along. On the other side, we'll talk about the World Cup. We're going to go live down to Brazil, and maybe we should try to negotiate with the operator on the air, Eric, to get Mike DeCourcy. That might even be more entertaining. Huh? What? Mike DeCourcy is next from down in Brazil on the World Cup. USA moving on to the knockout round against Belgium. On a busy Friday, Bill Goodykuhn's in about a half hour. Goody at the Movies. I'm Brad Sussman.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
I have to begin by congratulating our U.S. soccer team, Team USA, for advancing. Next round of the World Cup, we, USA, we, USA!
The president, a little bit off his step there, but having some fun with it, as everybody here in the States is. We have managed to able to get through to Mike DeCourcy. We've had Mike on many, many times through the years on the show. Brad Sussmat on sports360az.com. AZ Central Sports, good to partner with the Arizona Republic. On White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona as well. We usually talk college basketball and all things in, around the college game with Mike. But Mike has the privilege of covering the World Cup. I've been reading his stuff inside and out. I don't know, Mike, if Suarez would get anything from El Presidente up here about his actions, but you wrote a really interesting column about what the reaction has been to Suarez. We'll get over to Team USA in a minute, but why don't you just go into that a little bit that people can check out your content.
Well, there have been a number of things, and I've written actually several pieces about it, and one of the things that I wrote was that I think that how harsh FIFA was in this circumstance was less important than making sure that counseling in the circumstance is mandatory, and nowhere in his punishment was that included. And it's a massive error because he's done it twice before. So if you're going to send him back out on the field, then you should want this not to happen again. So you should mandate that he go through some kind of counseling and that he not be returned to the field until the counselor says, yep, I think he's all right. And that was not included. So I think it was a massive failure on the part of FIFA to address the root of the problem. Multiple game punishments have happened to him before. The most recent one covered parts of two seasons, and it didn't stop him. So if you want him on the field, then you have to try to fix this. The reaction piece that you're talking about that I wrote today,
it's stunning.
It's about
stunning.
Maradona, who's a legend and a legendary knucklehead, frankly, defending Suarez. And how do you defend him? I mean, are there worse things that go on a field of play, both in this sport and in a lot of others? Absolutely. But this is ridiculous, and you can't continue to allow it. Maradona, the Uruguayan people who he turned his back on in doing this when he knew exactly what the consequence would be. At minimum, it would be he was gone from the World Cup. I mean, the last suspension was 10 games. So at minimum, he would be gone from this World Cup and that he would lose multiple games at the next Copa America, Uruguay, by the way, being the defending champ. And he walked away from that. And yet the Uruguayan people, or a segment of them, are defending him and celebrating him, and that's ridiculous.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. 1,000 fans at the airport to give him a hero's welcome. How does that work?
It's absurd because they're the ones he affronted. They're the ones that he has penalized with his absurdity. He knew exactly what the consequence would be if he climbed on that guy's shoulder, Giorgio Chiellini, and bit down, which is exactly what he did. He did it to Branislav Ivanovic for Chelsea in April of 2013. I mean, he knew exactly what would happen as a result of that, and yet he did it anyway. So those people should be so angry because they had a chance to do something here. I mean, you look around at the teams that are remaining in the World Cup. I mean, Uruguay already beat England, already beat Italy. They certainly can hang with the others. They've beaten Brazil in the past, not on Brazilian soil for a long time. But now he's out of the mix, and he's their most important player. And they should be furious with him, and instead they're trying to turn their anger outward toward others.
And one last item on this. We're talking with Mike DeCourcy, who's down at the World Cup for the Sporting News. It's always good to have Mike on the show with Brad Sussmat. For you to get Maradona and some of his quotes, who did Suarez kill? Why don't they handcuff him and send him to Guantanamo Bay? Are you kidding me? Did you catch him at a bar at 1 in the morning? I mean, come on.
Yeah, but Maradona's been a clown show for 20 years now. It's a shame that a guy with his ability on the field has turned into such a joke off it. He's not the only one that's ever happened to. I mean, the United States has a few of those themselves. He is now a guy that, because of his name, he still gets quoted, but I don't think anybody takes him very seriously.
How has the United States fandom been down there compared to other countries?
It's been phenomenal. I would say that probably second only to Brazil. The intensity of the Chile people is probably been hard to match. I mean, they were unbelievable in Rio, and they were very good here on Monday. The U.S. has been right there and passionate and heard and felt by the players, and that certainly has helped. The U.S. got two great results, although the second, obviously, the Portugal game wasn't quite what they would have wanted it to be or could have been. But they got two great results in their first two games, and then yesterday was kind of a mess. The field was terrible, soaked with water. And the whole goal in that game was, if we're going to lose, we can't lose by more than one and make it interesting. And I'm sure they monitored what was happening in in Ghana versus Portugal.
Right.
And if Ghana had gone ahead, I think the U.S. would have flipped the switch and had to play differently, and that never happened.
I'm just wondering, too, as this has progressed, one of the narratives up here that I've seen and heard quite a bit of from fans is, so is it time to give Klinsmann credit for not bringing Donovan along, that he knew all along the direction that this was going to go? Are you at that point yet? Were you ever of the understanding where Klinsmann was, Mike?
Well, there was a certain chemistry he wanted to promote, and I think there was a certain attitude. And one of the things, if you're a coach and you can't be a tough guy, there are different personalities of coaches. I mean, there is the big Bob Huggins guy who scares you by his very presence. There's the Nick Saban guy who scares you with a stare. And then there's Jurgen Klinsmann, who is, who is like your sweet older brother. And he can't be that Huggins type. He can't be the Saban guy. So he has to do things differently. So what does he do? He has to play a mind game here or there.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it with Jozy Altidore at one point. He said things about Clint Dempsey to try to goose him a little bit. And I think with Donovan, there was a feeling that he wasn't going to have a major role with this team, and the impact of moving him on would have a lot of positive influence on this team, in the sense of nobody has it a short spot, in the sense of, yeah, even as minute a factor as this is, I really strongly believe that once he decided that there wasn't a huge role for Donovan in the team, that there was a huge role for Donovan in the American soccer conversation, because we all talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all were upset about it or had an opinion one way or the other. And that was good for American soccer to have that go on prior to the World Cup. And I do think that was a part of his thinking.
Jozy Altidore will play against Belgium?
I did not get to his press conference today, so I don't know the answer to that. I doubt that he answered it today anyway.
Sure.
But I still don't know the answer to that. I would say that it was a better chance than either of the previous games. It wouldn't surprise me if he didn't start it, because the problem is, if you have a guy that you're not sure is going to be able to make it for 60 minutes or so, it's better to bring him on later. Even though Jozy does a great job setting a tone with his physicality and that sort of thing, if you start a guy, as happened with Diego Costa in the Champions League final, he had a hamstring. He insisted on starting. He goes out there, plays 10 minutes, and then one of Atletico Madrid's subs gets burned in like 10, 12 minutes.
Right.
And they wound up playing 120 in that game, and they certainly could have used that sub for fatigue later on.
Two other questions. The player that you look at on the USA squad that you've been covering down there that you say, wow, he has brought more than I thought he would be able to.
Wow. Matt Beisler, he has been phenomenal. Matt Beisler has been as good a defensive center back as the U.S. has probably ever had in a World Cup. And he has just been excellent. Would have been even better, obviously, if he hadn't had to go off in the first game against Ghana, but he has been terrific. And I liked him as a player, but this is a different level, and he has been phenomenal. I expected Clint Dempsey to be very good. He has been sensational, not so much against Germany, but in the first two games was just extraordinary. I expected Fabian Johnson to be outstanding, and he has been all of that. But Beisler has been an absolute rock at the center of defense. He's going to get a lot of offers after this World Cup, probably from England and those sorts of things, and he's going to have to make a decision. He declined offers last summer because he wanted to finish the year with Sporting KC. He wanted to make sure he was still a regular playing so that he could start for this team.
Mm-hmm.
And he also wanted to try to win a championship, which he did with KC last year. But I think it's going to be hard to turn those offers down now because they can triple his salary, and he'll get those kind of chances.
Before you go, what do you know or can say in depth about Belgium for the United States fans and the opportunity for them to advance? Is this a good matchup?
Well, there are advantages that the U.S. has in terms of experience and physicality in some positions. As well as Josie Altidore being in trouble injury-wise, one of Belgium's best players and their captain and maybe their most important player, Vincent Kompany, the center back who plays for Manchester City in the Premier League, he's been bothered by a groin injury, and their coach is saying they're not sure about the Tuesday game, so we'll see. But Belgium has a fantastic array of young attacking talent. I think the U.S., the defensive posture they showed yesterday, I don't know they want to go quite that defensive in a game, but they showed they can be compact and really limit chances of an offensively gifted team. Belgium is young, can maybe be pushed around at certain positions, not all of them. You're not going to manhandle Vincent Kompany if he does play. But Eden Hazard and some players like that, you can maybe bump them around a little bit. The U.S. did that very well in yesterday's game, beat the heck out of Bastian Schweinsteiger, just brutalized him. And I think it really was a factor in how the second half played out. Germany eventually withdrew him, and I think that the rest of the German guys are like, we're up 1-0. You're happy with it. We're happy with it. Let's just go ahead and get out of here. And so that kind of physicality, you have to be careful in a round of 16 game. But you can put a beating on some guys within the rules, so to speak, and change the nature of the game.
Good visiting with you as always, Mike. Thanks for the time.
Okay, thank you.
Good stuff there. Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News down in the World Cup. At TSN Mike, if you want to follow him on Twitter, always a good follow. His story today about Suarez, Maradona, and all that. And along with the United States, really looking forward to Tuesday against Belgium. On the other side, Jeff Hornacek, Suns head coach, scheduled to join us in about 15 minutes. Bill Goodykoontz, Monday through Friday, right here for you. Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. We partner with the Arizona Republic at AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365, at sports360az.com.
So I'm watching the draft last night. Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. Good to partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. I was going to go, and Eric and Jared were already there. And the problem with us is, if the three of us go to one place and something tragic happens, we're not here anymore. We're just all gone. So none of us can be together. We have to take separate flights wherever we decide to go. We can never travel together in the same vehicle. The only place we can be together is in hotel rooms if we want to be. And I choose to not be most of the time. But as I was watching the draft last night, and I was listening to some of it with PJ Carlissimo, and as soon as the Suns took TJ Warren, there was a discussion that came up immediately about how he doesn't work hard enough on the defensive end. TJ Warren was the ACC Player of the Year in 2014. He averaged almost 25 points a game in the ACC. I myself didn't think the ACC was the greatest conference out there last year. That was good for third in the nation. So a team that needed scoring, as we watched them last season, I thought they helped themselves out there in a big way. More importantly, not only did he get 25 a game, but he shot 62% from the floor. You look at those numbers, 62% shooting from the floor. I'll take that any day, at any time. It's like these knuckleheads that get all wound up about Carmelo scoring 40, and he's 12 for 38 from the floor. Yeah, if you shoot the ball that many times, and he goes and gets 16 free throws, okay, whatever. I'm just not into guys that shoot the ball that much and can't make shots. He had 20-plus points in 19 straight games, 31 total times this season. He averaged 9.7 field goals made per game. Those numbers, I don't usually stat people out. I'm not the stat head of stat heads. But those numbers alone have you look at it and say, all right, that's really good. But, and here's Ryan McDonough afterwards last night. We have some video of him on the stream. On TJ Warren has a chance offensively to be very special.
He was the Player of the Year. I believe both the coaches and the media voted him Player of the Year in the ACC, which is one of the best conferences in the country. He has a unique ability to put the ball in the basket. And he's got good size and strength. But more importantly, he has terrific instincts and a fantastic touch around the basket. So we feel like he has a lot of the things you can't teach. He still needs to keep working on his outside shooting. But we think he has a chance to be a pretty special offensive player.
So that was Ryan McDonough last night. And, you know, you cover drafts through the years. I've covered 20-plus drafts through the years. And you usually hear coach speak, or you usually hear front office speak. But I really liked the approach that both Ryan McDonough and Jeff Hornacek took last night. When I heard some of the post comments, PJ Carlissimo in particular was talking about, well, there's some questions defensively, and some of the other analysts were going through the, is he really strong enough defensively? Guys, he shoots 62% from the floor. How would you not want 62% from the floor and 25 points per game? I mean, that's very impressive. Here is Coach Hornacek joining us now for a couple of minutes. Hi, Jeff. It's Brad Susmat. How are you?
Good, Brad. How's it going?
I'm fine. You know, it's post day after, and I am just sick of people giving grades out, and it's like 12 hours, 14 hours afterwards, and I think that's nonsensical. So I just sit here and go on my little rant. If I see a guy that shoots 62% from the floor and he averages 25 points per game, I have to think that that's going to equate pretty well at the next level, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look around and a lot of guys, and the way they score in college, you know, if they're just jacking up all kind of shots and they're taking 25 shots and getting 20 points, then that may not translate. But a guy who shoots a high percentage, really, you know, as when we watch tape, he knows how to get shots off. You know, it's a unique skill to be able to, you know, really put the ball in the basket like that. That you know, that will definitely translate, and he'll score a lot of points in the NBA.
Is he one of these guys, though, that you have to give minutes to in order for him to get into the flow of a game? Can you even get a gauge on that? You know, there's certain guys that come right off the bench and they can score immediately. There's other guys that work their way into a game.
Yeah, you know, that's always a concern. You know, all these guys are stars in college, and for the most part, you know, when they come in the NBA, they got to play a role first, and then hopefully, you know, 5-6 years down the road, they become, you know, the go-to guys where you're comfortable with letting them really go. But most guys, it may take them a little while their rookie year, but then they adjust and they learn how to, you know, make the most of their minutes. And, you know, that's on the coaches to make sure that they don't just come out there jacking up shots just so they can get their points. And you know, most guys, they get in this league, it's competitive. They want to win. And, you know, our stress is always team game. And we just won't play them if they don't pass it.
Okay, so what's the difference between, if you're breaking down, splitting apart, Smart, Napier, and Ennis, the player that you get from Syracuse, the point guard, what's the, if you're splitting them apart?
Well, I think between, they all lend some great things. You know, Napier is a guy who obviously has come from a championship team. You know, he's got that toughness. He can shoot the ball, but he's kind of offensive-minded. What we're looking for in Tyler, and that we really saw, was his poise and his ability to run a team and to, guide guys to spots, make the correct passes. He has great reads in different situations that we saw on tape. And he's a pretty darn good shooter, too. So, we feel that with the way our system of a lot of two guards play, the combination, there's going to be some minutes out there for him and maybe even Ish to go out there and provide us with some leadership. And, we think he can do that.
Well, I have to say, in a year's time, your backcourt now, the competition that you have done through drafting and free agency and trades and all, you have so much competition now in your backcourt and actually across the roster, which was what a coach wants. But in particular, if you can talk about the competition in the backcourt.
Well, absolutely. What's the best way to make your guys better?
Sure.
Have somebody push them. And, we feel we had a very good team last year. We love all the guys. They play hard. And we don't want them to be complacent. And when you draft guys, that's part of the process. These young guys want to come in. They want to try to take minutes from the veterans. The veterans want to, show that they're still the better player. And it creates for great practices. The way you get better in this league is good, hard practices. All the best teams that I've been on, all the teams you hear around the league that really are at the top of their games is because they have hard practices. Whether they're short or long, they're competitive. And, you bring in guys that maybe some of these guys look to maybe a threat, but that's only going to make the older guys better because they're going to step up their game even more, and that's good for the team.
When you played, who drafted that pushed you?
Well, it started with the trade for Kevin Johnson. I was a starting point guard at that point when they brought in Kevin. And, I wasn't happy about it. But, that just made me work even harder. And we ended up playing together. And then they drafted Dan Marley the next year. And, the prototypical two guard at 6'6". And so, we pushed each other. And I thought it helped both of us. We both, went to different levels for our game. So, it's a friendly competition. You're fighting for minutes and stuff, but it also is a way to push everyone to get to their best. And, I think with Tyler and TJ, I think they'll push some of these guys to even improve their game.
Jeff Hornacek with Brad Sussmat. When you put the tape in of Bogdan and you see it for the first time, because I'm certain you didn't go to Serbia to watch him, what did you see?
Well, he's a guy, we have great scouts, and our European scout has watched him for a while now, and he was really high on him. And as it turned out, I think from the scuttle afterwards, Scuba was, those teams below us, the San Antonio's, Oklahoma City's, these guys that are looking for those European guys, all wanted to pick him. And so when we watched him on tape, what our scout had told us, the kid can really shoot the ball. He comes off screens well. He's a 6'6", strong, hard-nosed player. And, we have one of those guys from that area in the vicinity in Goran Dragic, and we all know how hard he plays, and that's what this kid does. And, when he comes over, I think they said it on the NBA telecast yesterday that he's going to be ready to play. And whether that's in another year or 2 years, we feel we got a good player there.
Your last player, Alec Brown, a thumbnail on him for the fans.
Well, we didn't really know all that much about Alec until he came in for a workout. And you see this kid, and I think he might be 7'1", 7 foot or 7'1", and he can shoot the ball. We're like, holy cow, look at the size of this kid. And he might not be that inside post-up guy, but when we looked at him, and saw him in our system, he could be that 7'1" stretch four guy, or at the five spot, he can stretch the court. He's got a great shot from out there, and you know, some guys, when you look at the bigs, and for us, is that stretch four, if they have to step into it and get a pass to shoot it, that's okay if you got a great post-up player and we're getting kick-out passes from inside. But in our style with Goran and Eric coming off pick and rolls, you need that man. You know, you watch Channing Frye. You know, he's got great footwork, 1-2 long steps, has his feet set, and can shoot that shot. And that's what we saw in Alex. He can do the same kind of thing. The guy comes off another pick and roll. He takes 1 or 2 long strides and gets his feet set and gets the shot up pretty quickly. So, you know, we feel that he can develop and maybe be one of those stretch guys.
Before I let you go, Jeff, what is your gut on Channing Frye? I'm getting overrun by that with fans and seeing him back here next year.
My gut feeling is he's going to be back. I think all of our guys are going to be back. You know, we love what they do for us. Mm-hmm. I think they all enjoyed playing here. We had a great camaraderie amongst the team, the chemistry. You know, and these guys played major roles. You know, for me, it always gets down to, you love to get courted. You love to hear that other teams want you, but ultimately, you know, you're comfortable with your situation. You never know what you're going to get when you go to another team. Teams could promise you this, promise you that. You never, you know, it might not pan out. So these guys know their role on our team and how much we value them, and we anticipate they'll be back.
Stay well as always. Thanks for the time.
Okay, thanks, Brad.
See you, Jeff. Jeff Hornacek there for a couple of minutes. Day after the draft. So how do you not like what they did for the position that they were in? None of these guys were top five guys. They didn't trade anything away. As I've been saying here, my view of the Suns is when we get to July 1st, it's really on Ryan McDonough now to push this thing, because I can't say for certain that they're going to win 48 games next year again. I can't say that. People are like, oh, they're going in the right direction. You know, they were, and they did this last season, but they were able to overcome the injury to Bledsoe. But, you know, the age factor with some of these vets, and if some of these kids don't continue to improve, I just don't want to see a team every year that's a nice group of guys. It's a 6th, 7th, and 8th seed. That's pretty easy to do in the NBA, is just roll out enough of a product. What I want to see is, please go further. And by going further, you have to add a major piece in some capacity. I just think you do. On the other side, Goody at the Movies. So Transformers is out. Is this any good tonight? You want to go to the movies or this weekend? We do it every Friday. Bill Goodykoons, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. He joins me next. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and it's Friday, Bill Goodykoons, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central Sports, just AZ Central, not even sports, although he likes sports a great deal. Goody at the Movies joins us. You know, when Transformers came out with Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox and Josh Duhamel in 2007, I thought it was pretty cool. It's kind of like the Bourne movies for me. If they're on, I'll stop on FX and watch them over and over and over. That said, even with a 9-year-old, I sent my wife with him today hoping that they would go see Age of Extinction, partly because I read what you wrote, which just made it sound dreadful, and other reviews have been less than complimentary as well.
Yeah, that's a kind way of putting it. One of my favorite reviews of any Transformers movie, I don't hold them in as high regard as you do, and I'm flipping around and I see them on TV, I go to the other channel. Even if it's one of those horrible shows on TLC that my teenage daughter likes about wildly, just floridly dysfunctional people that have somehow gotten onto a reality show. But the great, great Roger Ebert once wrote that you can watch this movie, or you can go sit down on the kitchen floor and start taking the pots and pans out and start hitting yourself in the head with them.
And so how early did you start hitting yourself with the pots and pans in this one, Bill?
Well, that's kind of funny, actually. They in this one, they try to have a little bit of a story. And they and Mark Wahlberg replaces Shia LaBeouf, and he's a much more likable actor. And he he's just kind of an inventor type guy that can't really get together. He's raising a teenage daughter by himself, and he buys an old rescue truck, which of course turns out to be Optimus Prime, which is supposed to like make you, you know, like shudder with delight, but made me like just shudder. And he, what's happened now is there's a war between the humans have pretty much declared war on all of the Transformers, the Autobots and the Decepticons. And if that makes no sense to you, if you've never, that's about how it is for everybody. But and Stanley Tucci's in it, and he's kind of a Steve Jobs-like guy who's trying to build a better Transformer, but he's getting kind of duped by Kelsey Grammer, who's like this evil CIA guy. And that's kind of, you know, that's interesting enough. There's, I'm downtown. That's actual sounds of the city there, pal.
So I'm on the site for Hasbro's Transformers. They've made gobs and gobs and gobs of money off this, okay?
The franchise has made far more than $1 billion.
Right. So wouldn't it just make sense to keep throwing these out there because you could do them forever? But what you're saying is, while you've never really loved this franchise, it's just gotten progressively worse with each one? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
This one may not be quite as bad as the last one.
Yeah, last one was dreadful.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the other thing. This is the longest one. It's almost 3 hours long.
3 hours? Yeah,
it's
I can't
about,
do that.
I think it's about 2 hours and 40 minutes, 45 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife's got to go to that one. I hope they do see it today. It was between that and How to Train Your Dragon 2, and either one is
fine. Which is an excellent movie.
No, that's what you said. What you said. So let me move from so this is the movie to not see this weekend. And we've gone through some that here in the last few weeks, but I've not really had much time to talk some TV with you, unless you've got another movie that people have to see this weekend.
Yeah, there's a pretty cool movie called Night Moves, and it's like yet another Camel View thing. And it's Jesse Eisenberg, who was so good in The Social Network, playing Zuckerberg. But he's an eco-terrorist, and he and these two other people, including Dakota Fanning, who's all grown up now, they do this thing, which I won't say, and it has consequences, and they sort of deal with the consequences. It's just sort of slow-moving, but it's good. It's very tense, very stressful. Okay. I like stuff like that.
Let me move you over to TV then for a couple of minutes. So the World Cup match yesterday, another
USA.
Record day, third highest-rated soccer match ever. Are you into this yet?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I sort of am. I retain the same hesitation that I always did, which is there's just not enough scoring. And that's what I was going to tell you last week. One of my all-time favorite Simpsons things is when the World Cup came to Springfield, and everybody's excited. So they go to the big stadium, and they have TV coverage, and they have Kent Brockman from Springfield who starts out, and he's like, they take the ball, he gets it back to the center, and he holds and holds and holds. and then they switch over to the Spanish language announcer, and he's like, this is all in Spanish, of course. But he's like, he kicks the ball in the middle. He holds. He holds. He holds. And everybody's like screaming and hollering. It was a perfect explanation of like what it's like for like the real fan and the casual fan.
Well, there's biting, Bill. There's biting in this. You know, we had some biting with Suarez. Is that what you want? Is biting and fires around the pitch and all that sort of thing?
Necessarily, and I don't want it to be arena soccer on a small field where they, you know, carom the thing off of each other. I don't know what I want. I mean, you know what I want? I want to care about it once every 4 years, and that's what I get to do. So it works out pretty well, actually, and it works out exceptionally well that I actually have a rooting interest this year past the first, you know, the first round.
While we're doing this segment, I just received a tweet or an email from one of our listeners, RWP602, about actor Shia LaBeouf arrested and released after his outburst during a Broadway play. He said earlier this year he wanted to retire from all public life. I think I would like to retire from all public life as well, but I'm not 27 having made Transformers. Have you ever dealt with Shia LaBeouf, and is he a little bit off the deep end? I don't know.
Never met him, but I don't. He doesn't come off that well. You know, he was in Cannes this year for the film festival. He had for the Lars von Trier movie. What was it? It was Nymphomaniac. He acted very bizarrely and crazily, And then for the premiere, he wore his tops like everybody else, but he wore a paper bag over his head that said, "No longer famous." and he's acting strangely.
Yeah. Well, that's how he is. Well, enjoy your time. You're at volleyball, right? You're at your daughter's volleyball match?
I am at daughter's volleyball. The Phoenix has a big festival. I have hundreds of teams every year, and I'm here down here for that. I just got off the phone with Keira Knightley.
Oh, wow. You're dropping names on me.
I am.
And how was she? She's with Adam Levine singing in some new movie, right?
And she sings.
Is she good?
She is pretty good. They don't ask her to do a whole lot of singing. It's not like opera or something. I mean, they're just kind of these folksy kind of pop songs. But she does a good job, and I talked to her about it, and she's like, I said, "Did you know you could sing?" And she's like, "No."
She's cute.
She said, "I knew I could sing in school, but I'd never sung professionally." And, you know, and it's funny. It sounds much better when she says it, of course, because she says it with a delightful British accent.
No, she's very pleasant to watch. I'll let you go off that. Stay well. Thanks.
Thank you.
You got it. There's Bill Goodikunz. Goody at the Movies. Every week down at Volleyball this week. He's always somewhere. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. We're always somewhere. All of us are always somewhere. That's very profound, Brad. This segment brought to you by Santan Ford. It's Friday. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. 2 weeks ago, I stopped into Santan Ford, taking my wife's expedition to get it all tuned up, ready to go on our trip up to Lake Powell. We go up to Lake Powell. We have a great time, towed up the jet skis, had a lot of fun in the expedition, all loaded up. My wife's driving back down the hill, down through Flagstaff, and you guys know when you take off down Flagstaff and you come on down near Camp Verde and all that, she said it kind of sputtered for a second. Well, that's kind of weird. So I'm up in Pine Top. I'm emceeing the ASU White Mountain Sun Devil Club event. I'm 3.5 hours away. I call a couple of people at Santan Ford in the service department. They get the vehicle in. They check it out. They diagnose it. My wife didn't have to hassle with it. She got it taken care of. It was a minor little, what was it? It was like a battery cable. It was a battery cable that had an issue to it, okay? And probably when we're sitting there up at Lake Powell for the week and it was really hot. It's not a big deal, but they fixed it. And the people at Santan Ford, when I go in there for service to get my vehicle's oil changed, they are all about you. I talk about the vehicles that I drive, but really on the service side of things, guys, you know what it's like to go into a place and it's, man, we're going to be here all day and they're not going to get it done. For nothing but good response from the people at Santan Ford and the Quick Lane folks. That's at Santan Ford, where it is all about you, just off the Santan Freeway and the 202 Val Vista. That's at Santan Ford. One other note today, and we brought this up briefly in yesterday's program, but Brandon McCarthy is going tonight. Eric, do you think Brandon McCarthy, he's at 1-10, 1 win, 10 losses. Can we get him to 1-15, 1-18?
I don't know. The Padres can't hit. So if, like we talked about yesterday, if there's a team you want to face to, quote, showcase a pitcher, it's got to be the Padres, especially in that ballpark.
Well, here's the thing. They're two back of the Padres. I've been on this rant for the last, 6 weeks. Like, can you guys please just catch San Diego? They're not good. They're only two games in front of you.
That's asking a lot.
So there's that. And then the Coyotes have their draft tonight. Now, I don't know who the Coyotes are going to draft. I don't break it down like I break down Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Yep.
I don't break it down like that. But I do know this. They need help. The Kings are there. The West is tough. The Blackhawks are there. The Red Wings are there. So tonight, if you're a Coyotes fan, make something happen. They always have a ton of trades in hockey. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. Plenty of content on Sports360AZ.com. Good to partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, @BradSussmat.